Man, well, it's worth coming tonight just to hear the music. Amen. Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn over with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. And 1 Kings chapter 19. And no, I haven't lost my mind. We're not going to start Hebrews tonight. We'll start it next Sunday night. Hebrews chapter 19. I'm glad to see the crowd that's here. Appreciate you being here. Hope you've had a great Mother's Day so far and took Mama out to eat. Hopefully she didn't have to cook. Maybe she did. We did the big lunch today, you know. I dropped by Popeye's Chicken, picked up chicken. Chicken and jambalaya. It was good stuff. Whew. So that's what my wife got for Mother's Day lunch. I'm not a real big line guy, you know. I don't have the patience to stand in line. I don't. I tried. And special occasions, I'll stand in line for food, but that's real tough when you're hungry to stand in line for food. Some of y'all are that way too. It's good to see Miss Linda feeling better. Yeah. I like to see her over there smiling. And just have really enjoyed the day. And a good crowd for a Mother's Day evening to be back tonight. Just want to take a few minutes tonight and preach on just a section of Elijah's life. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read several verses. 2 Kings chapter 19. And let's look at verse 9. It says, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and have slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." I'm in 1 Kings 19, verse 11. "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshah shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Japhet of Abel-Mahalah, I'm close on that, and shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." I don't want to just go over that, but notice what he's saying there. Elisha shall be a prophet in thy room. Remember that. "And thou shalt come to pass, and it shall come to pass that when that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay, yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you that, again, as this theme has come up a lot recently, that you have not forsaken us, that you love us, you care for us. I pray tonight that as we address again this subject, Lord, that it would be a blessing and encouragement to those who come out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, that again, Elijah was, complaining. Here are all the great things that have happened. Elijah had defeated the prophets of Baal and just great and wonderful. God sent down fire from heaven. I mean, all the great things that God had showed Elijah. And yet they sought his life. And Elijah became discouraged. He became distraught. And God just simply asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" Elijah was alone, so he thought. You ever felt that way? You ever just feel alone? I really believe this is one of the subjects that really plagues a lot of people. A lot of loneliness going on today. I think of Miss Dorothy Neal when I think of loneliness, with a lady who doesn't have a lot of visitors, who doesn't have a lot of people that come by and see her, and she absolutely craves that fellowship. She's lonely. We see this in a lot of other individuals who are lonely. And you know that God made us as social creatures. We need each other. He said that it was good for man not to be alone. He made him a helpmeet in Genesis 2:18. And we need others. We also were created in such a way that we need the Lord. We need God. In Genesis chapter 3, that stated that we need the Lord. We need God. So we were made as social creatures that we need each other. We were made spiritual creatures in order that we need God. We need both in our life. The world needs the Lord and needs that companionship and that relationship. Loneliness is an attitude. And so many people often come to loneliness and feel lonely and think they're lonely and feel they're all alone when it's not true. In fact, I'd say the majority of the case is when you feel lonely, that you are not alone. We know we're not alone. The Lord is with us. But I'm talking about even physically speaking, that there are people there whom you do not know or that you do know that are thinking about you and do care for you. So we have to be very careful. The loneliness many times is produced by self-pity and the belief that one is suffering as the innocent victim of circumstances. And we see that here in Elijah's life. I mean, he thinks, man, I'm all alone. There's nobody else. Lord, I've done all these great things for you. I've stood up for you. All the things that we have done. And now Jezebel seeks my life. And now all these things are going on. And Elijah's asked again by God, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Why do you let yourself get in that position? Why have you let yourself get in the position of feeling the way you feel? Right? We're the ones that do it. We're the ones that allow it. So in verse 12, we see there in 1 Kings, and after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice, and was not in the fire. And the still small voice came. God confirmed His presence with Elijah. Elijah, I'm here. That still small voice. Can I tell you today that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that God at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time past by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by His Son. And though we don't receive dreams anymore, I've had this question even lately. Preacher, I had this dream, and this is what happened in my dream. Do you believe there's anything connected spiritually with dreams? And I just simply said no. God does not speak through dreams in the New Testament. Now your mind can certainly dream things that you're convicted about, or that you are going through a tough time, whatever the case is, and that can affect you mentally. I know I've woken up from dreams, and it's made an impact on the decision I made. Has it ever done that to you? You ever had one of them dreams you just wake up in the middle of it and it's just so vivid, so real? Anyway, maybe it's just me. But I've had that question. I simply say, listen, God doesn't speak in visions anymore. God doesn't speak through whirlwind. God doesn't speak through the tornado. God doesn't speak through the fire. God speaks in a still small voice. And God came to Elijah and said, Elijah, I am here. He confirmed His presence. Can I tell you that we can always rely upon God's presence? And again, this theme has come up recently, but well, we can absolutely rely upon Him. I'm going to go to the New Testament and read a couple of passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to read verse 16. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. But listen to this. Remember, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Verse 17, 2 Timothy. Again, he just said, all men forsook me. Verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and all and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Amen. The Lord stood by me. The Lord strengthened me. That verse there in the Old Testament where the Bible talks about David was strengthened, not by his army, not by those around him, but the Lord strengthened him. When everybody else forsook him, he was encouraged in the Lord. And can I tell you, absolute tonight, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in my life, the Lord stands by us. We preached on the verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember, we went back to the Old Testament and found five times in which that was mentioned, and Deuteronomy and so forth. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. He told the nation of Israel he would not leave them nor forsake them. And he told Joshua he would not leave them nor forsake them. And on we followed that Isaiah throughout the Old Testament. God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. The Lord stood by me. If the Lord will stand by Paul, he'll stand by you. If the Lord will strengthen Paul, he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen me. If the Lord will strengthen Israel, who honestly rebelled and over and over and over again, and we get the idea that, well, you know, the God will bless me, you know, a few times or 10 times or 20 times. But what after I failed him 100 times? Will he still strengthen me? Absolutely yes. When dealing with people who are under conviction, I always tell them, listen, you go to God and you ask for forgetness. Thank the Lord for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. No. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All. When he said, forgive someone 70 times 70, he meant to forgive them over and over and over again. The thing that I love about the Lord is not only does He forgive us, but He forgets. He forgets. You say, well, I did a terrible and awful thing. I did a terrible thing. He forgives you if you ask for forgiveness. But not only does He forgive me, He forgets. He doesn't sit up there, okay, I'll forgive you this time. But, man, I'm ticked. You know, He doesn't do that. You know, I forgive some people and I'm still ticked. Right? Oh, don't look at me that way. Absolutely, you do the same thing. And it takes me a couple of days, and most of the time it's like water off a duck's back. It just goes away. But it takes me a little while. With God, it's not that way. Can I tell you again? God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Acts says He's not very far from any of us. In Acts 17, He's always there. He will never, ever, ever forsake you and forsake me. And in the tough times, He is there for you. Elijah, where are you at? Why are you here? And that's kind of the way we get. Why do you allow yourself to get in that position? I mean, I'm talking about that lonely position where you think everything is against you and no one likes you and everybody hates you and you're going to go eat a worm. First you bite its head off, then you suck its guts out. Y'all never heard that little saying? Okay. You got to be from the country to know that saying. I got you tickled. Anybody else over here want to laugh? Sunday night, Mother's Day night. Everybody needs to wake up. But you know, we get that pity party, and Elijah, you know, another thing I think, when we mention this, we think about Elijah, that Hebrews says these were men of lack passion. In other words, these were just men. These were just men like us. Ladies, you know, just, and that God used in a mighty way. And here's Elijah, discouraged. I mean, a man who called down fire from heaven, who is discouraged. You say, how could that ever happen? Well, you've seen him work. I've seen him do miracles in my life, and I still get discouraged from time to time. Always rely upon his presence. God confirmed his presence in that still small voice. He confirmed his presence to Elijah. Then we see verse 15, it says, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. We see here that Elijah was given a commission. He was given a job to do. You know, I really believe that. I tell people who I counsel, and I would tell every one of you who've lost a loved one or going through a discouraging time in your life, stay busy. There is something, an idle mind is a devil workshop. Stay busy. Stay busy. Keep on keeping on. And so God gave Elijah a work to do. Apply yourself in the present. When you're going through a time of loneliness, seek some form of service. When you're going through a time of discouragement, seek to be a blessing to others around you. Just, I mean on purpose. I'm talking about seek it. You say, well, man, I feel like I'm all alone and nobody loves me. The church doesn't even love me. Nobody's called. Nobody's... By the way, sometimes we don't call because we don't know if there's anything wrong. You know, people go in the hospital and never call us. You know? Please call us. Let us know. Let us know. But you know, and you begin to be discouraged and listen, absolutely, we ought to stay busy in the present. Seek some form of service. See your new surroundings as positive. Two prisoners looked out at night between the prison bars. The one could see the mud and the other saw the stars. Just depends on which way you look, up or down. You know, you should never let your circumstances pull you down. And what are you doing letting your circumstances be on top of you? You should be on top of them. I don't remember if it was somebody in the room or not, but the other day we had the conversation about my optimistic attitude towards everything. Pretty much. Sometimes I get discouraged fishing, but otherwise, pretty much optimistic about most stuff. One of the things, let me share something with you. My heart, this comes up pretty often. Somebody will come to me and say, preacher, you know, such and such worker in the church, they've missed this and they've done this and they've done this. And it's been several months, preacher. Why haven't you done something? You know, why haven't you, you know, they're not exactly following the rules. They're not toeing the line. Why haven't you? I'm just an optimist. I'm praying and hoping they get back going the right direction, right? Amen. I want to get to heaven one day and the Lord say, man, I'm glad you gave him that extra time. Or the Lord could say to me, you gave him too much time. But I'd rather him say, you gave him too many shots than not enough. Or they said, you know, if you give him one more chance, they'd have made the corner. So sometimes that gets me in trouble, either way. But it's hard to know. It's hard to know. I think we ought to be optimistic about most things in our life, everything in our life, really. Whether it's Christian service or job, our family. Don't let the devil make you a pessimist. You know, and if you want to be a pessimist, don't come blow my fire out. All right? Don't do that. Blow your own fire out. And sometimes we can be optimists to a fault. And I'm not talking about, just being naive and not considering things. But we ought to be optimistic. And when you're going through times of discouragement, you're going through times of loneliness, you've got to get your head up. I love that. So, you know, our purpose as a Christian is to be conformed to the image of His Son, and we do that by keeping our eyes on Christ, keeping our eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes up instead of down. Hello? This message is for somebody here tonight. The Lord changed my message, so it's got to be for somebody, maybe for me. Keep your eyes up, not down. Well, you don't know what such and such happened or this said or, you know, in the church or in my job or whatever the case is. And I just can't, no, you know, pray for the situation, absolutely, but be optimistic about it as well. We, especially as we grow older, and again, I know I'm only 37, but we can come, especially in the position I'm in, we can become very cynical about people. It's very easy for a pastor to do, and I know preachers, and you do too, that are very cynical about people. They've just really lost heart in people because they've been hurt so many times. And it's just part of the preachers. It's just going to happen with No matter what happens in a preacher and his ministry, he takes everything personal. You can come to my office and say, preacher, it's really not you, but this is this and that. It is me. It's just, you take it personal. And so you have to be very careful about becoming cynical about individuals. That's why I said, even here a year or two ago, I said, you know what? All of us have quirks. All of us have quirks. We just don't see ours. The preacher has them. The more you hang around, the more you know somebody, you begin to look at their faults. You begin to look at their warts instead of looking at the better and the good attributes of a person. Right? Boy, we need to be careful about becoming cynical about people. Be optimistic. You say, well, he's hurt me three times. She's hurt me this, and this has happened, or that's happened. And just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Be optimistic. Be optimistic. Now I've gone all positive psychological preaching for you. But it's true. Elijah, why are you here? Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here in this cave? Why are you sitting here? Don't you remember all the things that I did for you? All right, Elijah. He whispers to him, I'm here. He says, okay, Elijah, get out and get to work. There's a king I need you to go anoint. Let's get up. Let's get going. And sometimes we need that from the Lord, just the Lord to kind of slap us around and say, you know what? Get up. Get off of your knees. Get off of your feet, off of your backside. And get to work. Let's do something. Let's get going. Boy, we as a church have a commission. I enjoyed the rodeo yesterday. Yesterday was not, to me, just about the rodeo. My intention was to go yesterday morning, and I had opportunity to pray at each event at 10 and 1:30 and at 5 o'clock. And what an opportunity to pray and to have the voice there. And my intention was to leave it and go do some visiting and other things. And I said, look at all these people here. I'll just visit here. And I did just hung out all day, except for a few minutes. Hung out all day and just a lot of those people that I know and we've had contact with and just shaking hands. What a blessing. We mentioned next year and talked to Brother Stone about it, our little booth that we had that really didn't make any money hardly. Sorry, youth. I told him this year, you set the booth up. The church will pay for all the refreshments instead of the youth department paying for them. And if you lose, the church picks up the tab instead of the youth. Because last year they lost. But anyway, I said, you know what we ought to do next year? We ought to just take all the Cokes and waters, take a rubber band and put a track on a Coke, and just hand them out for free. Instead of trying to make money at the event. Listen, we do mail-outs all the time. We spend 39 cents on a stamp. Pass, you know, mail out 5,000 flyers. We can sure spend 25 cents on a Coke and a 5-cent track. For 30 cents, we could pass out 1,000 of them. And really, as far as stewardship's concerned, might be a little better stewardship in the mail outs than we do. But instead of taking a negative thing, and it is a negative thing, it negatively impacted what the youth were trying to do, let's make it a positive thing and get to work. Get to work. Let's impact our community find different ways to do it in whatever way that we can. But Elijah was given a commission to get out, get to work. Can I again just reaffirm and encourage you, work. If you're a Sunday school teacher, work. If you're a children's church worker, work. If you're messing with the little toddlers in children's church for the last 4 weeks, I was thinking of Miss Holder up there this morning. She's really been faithful helping out in the new toddler church that we have going. And just be faithful. Just work. Just keep on keeping on. And looking forward to the day that God would say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And staying with the work. And Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here? Why have you allowed yourself to get in this position? Why have you allowed yourself to get in this area of loneliness and discouragement? Lastly, we see Elijah was provided with companionship. Again, he said to him, go and take, and thou shalt anoint to be a prophet in thy room. Talking about Elisha in verse 16. Elisha. And what a great prophet Elisha was. In fact, the Bible says Elisha got a double portion. You know what that means? It means Elisha got a double portion of God's power. But it also means that Elisha did double the work and accomplished double of what Elijah had accomplished. God promised Elijah companionship. Just imagine if Elijah sat back and said, you know what? All right, I've heard the still small voice. Lord, you've given me a commission to do this, and okay, I need to go find my replacement. and I'm going to meet my replacement, but I don't want to do it. What impact would that have had had Elisha not taken the place of Elijah? The people that were raised from the dead, the impact of the school of the prophets, and all the great things that Elisha had done, contingent upon Elijah. That companionship was provided, that encouragement was provided for the prophet Elijah. It says, and he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Japhet, who was plowing. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. Who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah. Notice what it says there. Are you at the place there? And ministered unto him. Ministered unto Elijah? I thought it was supposed to be the opposite. I thought Elijah was the mentor. But it says Elisha ministered unto Elijah. This happens every time. Someone reminded me the other day of, we may have said this story. I don't remember if I did during Anniversary Sunday. Little story of Joyce McGinnis. We began to try to build this building, and again, things began to fall apart. And I'll never forget, Sunday morning after church, Joyce McGinnis, a very fine lady, comes up to me after church on Sunday morning and says, preacher, something to this effect, I'm summarizing. Again, maybe she's 60-something, late 60s, okay? She says to me, preacher, get your head up, you know? She just kind of giving me that grandmother talk. And she said, you know what? Churches are cyclical, and people leave, and people come, and people leave, and people come. And she says, I've seen it for 60 years. Part of the cycle of life for a church. I'm, again, summarizing. And she just took and just gave me a big old hug and spent a few minutes with me and just encouraged me. Here I am, her pastor, and she's ministering to me. Right? Here is Elijah, who got discouraged and lonely, and his disciple, if you would, is ministering to him. Sometimes those who would encourage you come from the most unlikely source. And whether it's a letter or a note or a card, whatever it may be, a phone call, let's remember that it may come from any source. I'm talking about physically speaking. Again, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. But secondly, we need to think about that maybe we're the ones that's supposed to encourage someone else. Have you ever just gotten that still small voice tell you, hey, you should call such and such, you should call, or you need to write them a note, or whatever the case is? Boy, you need to follow through on that. The Lord's commissioned you to do something, and He pulls on your heartstrings. You ought to do that, because you never know that other person, you're their Elisha. You may be the one that God has touched the heart to encourage someone else and to minister to them. Boy, we need to be careful, don't we? What if God had not called Elisha to minister to Elijah? What impact would that have had on that great ministry? So God confirmed His presence with Elijah. He had definitely a companionship that was provided for him by way of Elisha. Again, we think about to have a friend, you must be a friend. Many times we refuse new friendships because of past failures in relationships. Again, we become cynical of people. We need to be very careful of that. We have a tendency, as Elijah believed here, the lie of rejection. By the way, the people who were rejecting Elijah were ungodly heathens. And yet he still felt the rejection. Isn't that something? Who in here likes rejection? Who in here, even though the rejection comes from a non-source, an ungodly source, still feels the rejection of it? Boy, something popped in my mind, but I'm not going to say it. It's not of the Lord. But God provided companionship for Elisha. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's presence is absolutely personal. God's presence is absolutely real. God's presence is encouraging, sweet, empowering, near. It's cheering, it's everlasting. And if you're lonely tonight, if you're discouraged, why are you there? Why have you allowed yourself to get in that position? And God is there confirming His presence with you. If you're saved, He's with you. He lives in you. He's commissioned you. Maybe you just need to get busy for the Lord. Re-up, if you would. Maybe there's someone that He's been tugging your heart about, talking to somebody about the Lord. And then again, we think about companionship and the need for friends. Having a sense of belonging is something that many people need, most people need. We think of Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but a fellow citizens with the saints and of the what? Household of God. I'm glad tonight we have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight. This is our church family. We are a family. We are in a nation, many times, a nation of strangers. I thank the Lord I have a good neighbor. By the way, we share a road. I'm glad we like each other. It would be kind of difficult if we didn't. It's great, but most neighbors, it's not like it used to be where neighbors knew each other. And I remember as a kid where we grew up there in Bowie that, you know, when we were short on eggs, we went to the next door neighbor and got some eggs or some sugar, and then, you know, they did the same thing to us, and we knew them. On one side of us was a young couple, and the other side was an older couple. And I remember an older man out tilling his garden, and Dad said, hey, why don't you go over there and till that garden for him? And, you know, just neighbor helping neighbor across the street and down the street. And, you know, that's not the case much anymore. Today we know there's we know because of polling that's been done by Gallup that 4 in 10 Americans admit frequent feelings of intense loneliness. It's amazing that Americans can be some of the loneliest people on earth and yet have so many great things and great blessings. I say all that to say this in closing. People are looking for fellowship. Absolutely, we are commissioned to go out and reach people for Jesus Christ and to see them get saved and baptized and added to the church. But we must take into consideration tonight that there is a great sense of belonging that most people are craving to develop friendships and develop relationships. Some of them don't even know it. And we need to provide that here at our church. We need to take that opportunity, a timely opportunity in our Sunday school classes to provide that relationship that so many people need. I want to encourage you again tonight with as many visitors and new families we have. Get to know everybody. Again, you may never know everybody's name, but in your Sunday school class you can. Right? That new couple that's come in or that new individual who's come in, get to know them. Learn their name. Develop a relationship. The next fellowship we have set by somebody you don't know. Just be a friend. You never know what impact you may have on somebody else. The church should be a place where people are cared for. And Heritage Baptist Church is that church. I absolutely believe it. Amen? You get sick and find out what happens. You'll be saying, stop, too much food, or stop. Right? Just have a loving and kind church. Let's keep on keeping on. And again, the question was asked of Elijah, why are you here? Tonight, maybe you're in that position. And we ask the question to you, why? Why have you allowed yourself to get in that position? God is there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's given us a job to do. Let's get to the job. And on a personal level, He hasn't left you friendless. Has He? 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Oh, you may not know they're there, but they're there. They're there. Amen. Let's all stand.